St. Mark chapter number 9, I want to read something. I have preached from these verses, I think, here some years ago. But in today, being here at the church about all day, I was studying through here and to come across these verses again, and it seemed like I felt like the Lord just whispered some things to my heart out of these scriptures that I thought, man, I wish I'd have said that back then. But anyways, I went to prayer about it and felt like preaching from them tonight. And St. Mark chapter number 9, and let me read verse 19. You can actually go back to verse 14 when the story starts about the father bringing his son, that this son is possessed with devils. And he's cast him into the fire, into the water. You know the story. And Christ has come off the mountain. And the Father has already brought the Son earlier to the disciples. And to try to get them. Of course, he brought him to Christ, and Christ wasn't there. He was on top of the mountain. But anyways, the disciples failed. And so, here it is. Jesus comes off of the mountain, and the Master, Christ, and the Father talks back and forth. And let me just read verse 17. The Bible said, "And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered unto him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. They brought unto him, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him, and he fell to the ground. He fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he said to his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Wow. How many here has borrowed that prayer and prayed that prayer that I'm fixing to read when Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love, for your mercy, for your kindness, for the grace of God. We appreciate you, Lord, for every heart, every life that is here in the house of the Lord tonight. We pray, God, that you would touch and you would bless. God, and give me clarity of thought and clarity of speech, and help me to say tonight exactly what the Holy Ghost would have me to say. Nothing more, nothing less. In Christ's name we pray. And everybody says, amen. I want to preach tonight on "There is no if with God." There is no if with God. Amen. Our story opens up to us on a scene that has got a multitude at the foot of the mountain. There, as they are gathered around Jesus, later in the middle of this story, calls them a faithless generation. You got to get that. A faithless generation. And as I was looking at this today and seeing Christ and coming off of the mountain, him and the disciples, and there they come at the foot of the mountain. They see this multitude that has gathered around, and then one of the multitude speaks up, which is the Father. And the Father begins to explain to Christ the circumstance of what's going on. And he said, I brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And he begins to expound about what was taking place and his son's life. And he says, the disciples, you wouldn't hear, of course. And so the disciples could not cast him out. And I want you to notice, amen, Jesus then calls for this young man to be brought forth. Amen. In verse number 20, the Bible said, and they brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, this spirit tear him and fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. Amen. And you know, when I read this text, when I come to that part, knowing Christ, knowing the Bible, amen, knowing how Christ is, I immediately want to think that the very next verse is going to be Christ rebuking the evil spirit that's in this child. I do not know how old he is. Amen. You sort of get the picture maybe of a 10, 12-year-old boy, but I do not know. Amen. But Christ asked him a question. Amen. Here is this boy. This boy is foaming at the mouth. This boy is just writhing, amen, and wallowing on the ground. And I don't know how many of you ever seen anybody demon possessed. Raise your hand if you ever seen anybody. Well, you know what was going on then. You got Christ, you got a father, you got a son on the ground, and you got a multitude in a circle around this scene. Now, here's what I noticed something, when Christ asked a question, how long is it ago since this came unto him? Now, don't forget, right before this, he looked at around and he called this multitude that was around him a faithless generation. Now, I was reading this and looking at this, and as I read this, I said, now, Lord, Christ was God incarnate in the flesh, and he is omnipotent, he's omnipresent, and Christ knew the answer before he ever asked this question. So listen to me. If you're a Bible reader and a studier, anytime you find Jesus asking a question, then you need to ask yourself, why did he ask that? Because he already knew the answer. Can I hear an amen? He already knew the answer. He knew every detail. He knew when the boy was born. He could tell you his mama's name, his daddy's name, his grandparents' name. Christ knew the answer to why did he ask this question. You know the reason is because there was a faithless generation that was gathered in a circle. And Christ not only wanted to deal with this young man and this father, but he wanted, amen, this faithless generation to see a miracle that day. Help me, Holy Ghost. Amen. I looked at this today and I began to search and began to look. Amen. At this, now, I'm going to preach later on down where he said, you know, Lord, I believe, but I want you to see this picture because Christ knew the answer. Amen. But what he was saying, amen, he was saying, Dad, I want you to step up to the mic. I want you to tell us about your son and how long it's been. And so when the father spoke up and said, from a child, this has happened. And then he talked about the water and then the fire. Amen. I need strength in my voice. Help me, Lord.
And so, amen, I hear this. I can hear this man begin to expound about the Father, the Son, the fire, the water. Amen. And trying to, this seemingly like a suicide devil along with this boy. And amen, as Christ asked him this question, how long? Amen. And he began to expound oftentimes, amen, since a child. Amen. And you know what he was saying? He was telling that faithless generation, I'm fixing to do a miracle in this young man, amen, that's been in trouble for years. And it doesn't matter if you've had a problem, amen, since your childhood for 20 and 30 years. I want to tell you, God can move in your circumstance. Just last night, thank you, Holy Ghost. Just last night, I had somebody come up for prayer during the altar call. And he whispered in my ear, and as a man, he said, Brother Simpson, I'd like for you to pray for me. And he shared a little bit of his story, about a minute's worth. And he said, there's been something that I have battled in my mind for 30 plus years. When I thought of that, and I thought of this point that Christ was trying to make, amen. And I said, Christ, you knew this father's answer. You knew exactly why did you ask that question? Because he wanted the father to speak up and say it's been going on for years. Because no doubt there was people in that crowd that their life had been a mess for years. You know what? Sometimes people battle things that you don't really understand, especially if you've been raised in a Christian home and you got saved early in your youth. Thank God for that. I'll tell you, there's some people in the house of God that has battled things, amen, for years and years and years. They think about things 10, 20, 30 years ago. Amen. And I want to tell you something. God can heal a hurt that's been 30 years. God can heal a hurt. It doesn't matter if it happened yesterday, last week, last month, last year, 10 years or 20 years. I felt like the Lord would have me to tell somebody, your hurt can be healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. So he asked the question, and of course, he tells him oftentimes, many times. Amen. The father says this in a midst of a faithless generation. Well, you know, sometimes Christ, I don't understand. There's things, many things that I don't understand. I've heard Brother Gabbard say a statement. And I agree with him. He said, I heard him say it. He said, I don't understand why. When his wife was sick for 12 years, amen, he could travel across the country, and men and God was using him mightily. Folks were being healed mightily. I mean, cancers and tuberculosis. Just all kinds of diseases and testimonies all over the entire holiness movement. People were being healed. And yet at the same time, he was going back home to a wife who was so sick. Amen. That Brother Gabbard wrote her own funeral sermon. Amen. Because he was so sure that it looked like she was going to die. Amen. But God moved after 12 long years. Amen. Mightily healed her on a Friday night. Not on a youth service several years ago. Amen. Why do you, some get healed, some don't? I can't answer that. But I can tell you that God does things for a purpose. There is a purpose. Amen. If you feel like you're in a prison tonight, amen, of despair and a prison of hopelessness, there might be just a purpose in that prison. Hang on, help is on the way. Christ was wanting to tell that faithless generation that it doesn't matter how long you've lived in unbelief, you can be set free. Now, help me, Lord. Now, when I read this, I looked at this, finally this man comes down and he says, if thou canst do anything. And of course, I mean, now you got to understand this. He is talking of course, to Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. But at the same time, he's talking to the Son of God. And he's asking God in Christ, and he's addressing him and says, if thou canst do anything. Amen. You know, there's four reasons. And I didn't mention this last time I preached this, however long ago it was here. But there's four reasons why men and women use the word if when they reference it toward God. You with me? Four reasons. Number one, amen, here's one reason why, amen, that men might do this is because they might be just totally ignorant of God. Totally ignorant. The second reason, amen, that somebody would address God with an if thou canst do this, amen, is they feel so overwhelmed by a situation and they're filled with fear. The third reason is they have, amen, they are devastated by unbelief. But the fourth reason is that they really don't know, amen, what the will of God is. I would be safe in saying that probably the crowd that is here tonight would fall into the category of that number four. At times, I would be honest, there is times that I have asked God if, I have put the if on God. Amen. But I want to preach to you tonight on there is no if on God. Amen. When this father looked at Christ and said, if thou, who was thou? It was the Son of the living God. Who, I mean, he's asking. I mean, when you read this question, we're standing on the post side of this story. We done read it from beginning to the end. We know how it's going to end. Amen. But when I read this, amen, and he said, if you, Jesus, can do anything, and I want to say, if Christ can do anything, what are you talking about? I mean, he is the one that in Genesis 1, with the power of his word, said, let there be light. And just by his word, amen, there was light. Amen. I want to tell you, I don't know what you're going through tonight. I do not know what you're facing. I don't know the depth of your trouble. But I want to tell you, my friend, when you look at God, don't put the if on God. Amen. But put the if on yourself. Because Jesus told this man, instantly referred right back and said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible unto thee. Did he not? He put the if right back on him. I've been saved a long time. Been a pastor for several years now. I've had a lot of people, heard a lot of people. They always, not always, let me reframe that. But sometimes they want to put the if on God. Well, if God would just heal me. If God would, could just do this. If God. And I'll tell you, be careful when you put the if on God. Because there's no if with God. Amen. God puts the if with you and with I. He said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. Amen. Are you with me? I want to tell you, when I think of God and I think of Christ, when you look at creation, you go to Genesis 1. Let me just turn there quickly. Amen. In verse number 3, the Bible said, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Amen. In verse number 6, the Bible said, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. I'm telling you, when I think of God that can hold all the water in the palm of his hand, and the Bible said the earth is his footstool, heaven is his throne. When that father said, if thou canst do anything, he did not really realize what he was talking to, who he was talking to, and what he said, because he was talking to, my friend, the Son of the living God, the one that created the heaven and the earth, the one that created man himself. Woo! Amen. It was God who said, amen, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. It was God who said, let there be light. Amen. And the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. It was God who took the moon, hung it out on nothing, put the stars out there in space, just by his word. Now, I know that we've got an ignorant, amen, teaching that believes in the evolution theory, where man came from, amen, and the Big Bang theory. But I'm sorry, I do not believe in that. But I believe that there is a God in heaven, amen, but the power of his word, amen, that he spoke this world into existence. I'm telling you, when you can understand the word thou, if thou, if you can understand who Christ is and what he did with the power of his word, then my friend, your situation, your problem that you're facing, the thing that you're going through right now, amen, compared to what God has done, amen, is nothing. One place in Isaiah, and I won't take time to read, I don't think, but he called the nations of the earth just a drop in the bucket. Amen. That's a book. You say that's a country saying. No, that's a Bible statement. He said the nations of the earth are like a drop in a bucket. That's how big God is. That's how great God is. So when this man said, if thou canst do anything, I mean, you was wanting to say, man, what are you talking about? God can do everything. God can do everything. You read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You go through the Gospels. How many times, how many references are there to where the Bible said Christ went around healing all manner? Everybody say the word all. All manner of diseases and sicknesses. If, I like what one preacher said. He said, well, pray that the Lord heal me if it be his will. He said, number one, you got to understand it's God's will to heal. See, you really don't believe that because there's only one amen on that one. But it's God's will to heal. Christ did two things on Calvary. Salvation and the atonement. Do we believe in the atonement? It's in their bylaws. Amen. Do you believe in healing? Divine healing? Amen. He made a way for salvation, for humanity to come to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. But at the same time on Calvary, the other thing that he did was he paid the price, amen, in the atonement, amen, so you and I could be healed by the power of God. No wonder there are two references to healing: by his stripes. By his stripes, we were healed. Amen. I want to tell you, he paid the price on Calvary, amen, for our healing. Amen. So when you think of Christ, amen, I want to tell you something. He is a healer. healing and salvation. Boy, when that father heard these words, he realized the if was put back upon him. Amen. Then that's when he cried that famous prayer. Father, he cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Boy, I don't know about you, but I've borrowed that prayer right there. I've prayed that prayer. I believe. Amen. But help thou my unbelief. You almost want to say, well, amen. And boy, he was clever and he just spoke his heart here. Amen. He was just speaking his heart. Amen. He didn't say, I'm a doubter and help my belief. But he said, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. I recognize there is a lack. Amen. But I'll tell you something. Though Christ rebuked him here, amen, tenderly and softly and kindly, it still touched the heart of Christ. And that father went away that day with a son that was delivered from a demonic spirit, amen, that had tormented him for years. Oh, yes. Thou canst believe. All things are possible to him that believe. I believe God wants to heal somebody right here. I never forget, I heard Brother Wendell Pittman say something. I've never forgot it. He said, anytime the Holy Ghost comes in a service, anytime, he said, he always comes in to heal. Whether it's a healing of a sin-sick soul, whether it's healing of somebody's nerves, whether it's a healing of somebody mentally, whether it's a healing of somebody spiritually cold, whether it's a healing, amen, physically, emotionally, whatever it is, when he comes there, he doesn't come there just so you can feel good and walk out. He's wanting to heal you. Amen. One person said he can heal you wherever you hurt. That is a true statement. Amen. He can heal you emotionally. He can heal you physically. He can heal you financially. He can heal your marriage. He can heal your relationships. He can heal you in every area of your life. Amen. Come to the piano, Hope, please. A miracle in a miracle right here. Christ wanted to show his power, reveal the glory of God. What a wonderful thing. Amen. When Christ said, bring him unto me. The Father said, if thou canst. But Christ said, if thou canst. Right back on you. Wow. What a thought to realize who he is. You know, there's a scripture, thank you, Holy Ghost, just come to my mind in closing. I want to think Lamentations chapter 3, but don't hold me to that. I think it is Lamentations chapter 3, where about the first, 15 or 20, 21 verses, I think it is. He goes down a long list, and he's lamenting. And he's talking about his trials, and he's talking about his trouble, and he's talking about his situation, and he's talking just how deep his valley is. He's expressing how that he's, you know, he's at a place there where he don't even have hope. But I tell you, when you get to a place where you lose hope, you're in a dangerous place. Because that's where depression sets in at. There's a far difference between being discouraged and being depressed. When you're depressed, amen, you feel like it's hopeless. I mean, when you feel like it's absolutely hopeless, you'll find yourself, you'll question even why, what's the reason even pray? You'll find yourself, what's the reason to even fast? What's the reason to even read God's Bible when you feel depressed and you feel hopeless? I want to tell you, when you read Lamentations chapter 3, amen, and he comes down that long list of just terrible things. But then all of a sudden he comes down to verse, I think it's 22, 23 in there, somewhere is there about that he says, but all of a sudden there came hope to my heart when I began to think of the faithfulness of God, and he began to look away from his problems and the pit that he was in and the valley he was walking through, and he got his eyes upon the greatness of God. He got his eyes upon all the great things of God. I want to tell you, my friend, that's the only way you'll get out of depression and you'll get out of that valley and you'll get out of that rut, is when you look toward the goodness of God. Am I right on that? I see some of you looking at your Bibles. Am I right on that? What page is that on? We got a Thompson Chain Reference Bible. Help me out. I didn't have that marked. I didn't know I was going to that. Lamentations. What does it say right there? Who's got that? Say that again, Brother David. He ain't reading that. Where's that at, Brother David? Is my right? Lamentations? Somewhere up through there? Say it again, Brother David. Woo! I tell you what really gets good is when you read that first 21 verses and he tells you about the pit he's in. I don't have time to read it. I'm telling you, he talks about a dark pit. You see that, Brother Richard? Are you looking at that? You're looking at, you see that pit? You read the first 21 verses. I mean, he paints that pit as about as black as you can get. Then all of a sudden he turns his thoughts. Just his thoughts. He didn't go to camp meeting. He didn't get prophesied over. He just turns his thoughts away from his problem, his pit, his valley, and he turns them on to what? Amen. This I recall to my mind. Amen. Of God's faithfulness. Amen. His mercies are renewed every morning. I want to tell you, we don't have to do like the Father did and say, God, if thou canst do anything, we don't have to pray that prayer, because we can say, God, you can do anything you want to do, God. It is your will to heal. It is your will to deliver. It is your will to save. Amen. Quit putting that if on God and say, God, I believe your word. Boy, we ought to just stand here and worship the Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost here. Oh.